Morning, brothers and sisters, and most respected friends. In looking out here this morning, we find many collegias represented throughout the United States. So I have chosen for this 1982 Bible school for this morning the subject, the Apocalypse and the Ecclesia. The Apocalypse is divided into three parts. The things that thou hast seen, the things that are, and the things that are to come. The things that thou hast seen refer to the vision given John. The things that are relay the message to the ecclesias found in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. The things are to come occupy the rest of the book. Chapter 1 gives us a picture of the seven lampstands. The seven lampstands. With one likened to the Son of Man in their midst, which we should realize that there is always one in the midst of our ecclesia that can always help our ecclesia, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He tells us that where there are two or three gathered together, there am I in the midst of thee. So we see that we do not have to have a large ecclesia, for the Lord Jesus Christ to be in the midst of it, and for that ecclesia to do effective works. In the first chapter, he describes the ecclesia as a lampstand. In the King James Version, it refers to it as candlesticks. It is not candlesticks. It is a lampstand. Lampstand. It took oil to make it burn. We're not dealing in any way with candlesticks. In the first chapter, in the 20th verse, first chapter, 20th verse, it tells us that the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in the right hand, and the seven golden, lampstands, not candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven ecclesias, and the seven lampstands which thou sawest are the seven ecclesias. Now the seven stars are the seven angels of the ecclesias, and the seven lampstands that thou sawest. So our ecclesia we draw from this is, our ecclesia is a lampstand. It is a lampstand. And because our ecclesia is a lampstand, there is a responsibility of each and every member of this ecclesia. Now let's turn over to the 27th chapter of the book of Exodus and look at verses 20 and 21 to see if we can get a meaning on this responsibility. Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21. For thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring pure olive oil of olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always, in the tabernacle of the congregation, without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from even till morning before the Lord, and it shall be a statute for every unto their generation on the behalf of the children of Israel. So it was the responsibility of each and every Israelite to provide the oil for these lamps. They had to go out and pick the berries, And they had to beat the berries. And they had to immerse the berries in boiling water to make this oil, to make this lamp burn. Then they had to bring the oil to the priest, so that they could find a place for themselves in the holy place. For it was the oil from every individual Israelite that caused this lamp to burn in the holy place. Now it was the responsibility of each and every individual Israelite. It was not the responsibility of the priest. The priest didn't have to do this. It was the individual Israelite. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen a lampstand to represent an ecclesia. The success or the failure of this ecclesia is in our hands, the individual's hands. It's not just in the hands of the managing brethren or the brethren that speak. This is what God was trying to impress upon the Israelites, and that is individual responsibility when He commanded them to bring the oil. If we want our ecclesia to flourish, there's something we can do about it. First of all, and the most important is read God's Word. This is God's Word. That's why we're all here today. We believe what it says. This is God's Word. This is God talking to us. When we read this book, we're listening to God. This is very important. The next way, prayer. Prayer is important because it is our way of communicating with God. By reading God's Word, God talks to us. By prayer, we talk to God. Each year as we gather at Bible schools, this is the only one I've ever attended, but many here have attended different Bible schools, and there's a certain feeling that comes out of a Bible school. It's a warm feeling, brotherly feeling, feeling ordinarily of cooperation, and a feeling that we get no other time, because we have removed ourselves from the world temporarily, and our association is with the brotherhood. This is one of the most wonderful feelings that you can have. So we should always remember that. And when we read the Word of God, it should be the same way, this feeling that we get. Reading the Word of God does not always come easy. For some, it's easier than others. It is something that we have to work at on a day-to-day basis. Some of us, like myself, have to work harder than others. Prayer is something, too, that might not be easy. Always. Prayer takes concentration. Sometimes when we pray, our mind has a tendency to wander. But how would it be if we were carrying on a conversation with a person and our mind wandered off? We must remember that it takes concentration, that a prayer is something that is very, very important. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, we're introduced to the seven ecclesias. We have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These are seven ecclesias, and they are probably representative of the ecclesias that we have in the brotherhood today. We can probably put all the ecclesias into the category of the seven ecclesias, although there may be a combining of one or more ecclesias within one. But we do have seven representative ecclesias, and this morning we're going to look at these seven representative ecclesias. Now, Brother Mansfield, the Apocalypse epitomized, says that the symbology of the Bible is the in the ecclesias likened to the moon. The moon changes. You'll have a full moon, and it begins to change and change, and it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller until it's a small sliver, and then it starts all over again. It's never the same. This also was like the history of Israel. This is like the history of the ecclesia, where the moon is full, and then all of a sudden it begins to slowly, slowly, slowly change. This is what we have to watch against, is the changing, because sometimes it is so gradual that it is so hard to see how we can be going from very good to a little worse and right on down the line. Okay, the first ecclesia was Ephesus. It was the heart ecclesia. It was dominant, but it lacked love. Smyrna was the persecuted ecclesia. Pergamos, the embattled ecclesia, struggling against Eris. Thyatira, compromising ecclesia, for being undermined. Sardis, dead ecclesia, large in numbers, works not complete. Philadelphia, beloved ecclesia, small in numbers. Laodicea, complacent or indifferent ecclesia, lukewarm, self-righteous, not knowing its true state. We should remind ourselves always that we do not have to give in to the environment in which we live. We do not have to succumb to the environment in which we live in the world. Sometimes this is hard, but we do not have to. Nor does any ecclesia have to remain in a state if it is a bad or ecclesia or whatever. It should does not have to remain in that state. It can always be brought back to a better ecclesia. So we should ask ourselves, where does my ecclesia stand? Where does my ecclesia stand? And what is my involvement in my ecclesia to make it better? What can I do to make my ecclesia better? The message to these seven ecclesias is divided into four parts: commendation, condemnation, counsel, and challenge. So let's look again at these ecclesias and the messages that were given to these ecclesias. Ephesus, there was condemnation. There was also commendation. The condemnation was because they had left their first love, but there is also in this a challenge. The challenge comes in to do something about it, to change it. Although all of these messages can be divided like this, except Laodicea. In Laodicea, there was no commendation. And as far as Smyrna and Philadelphia, there was no condemnation. So here's another factor. The two ecclesias, particularly that were condemned, which were Sardis and Laodicea, now think about this a minute. They were apparently not doctrinally, nothing wrong with their doctrine particularly. They were doctrinally strong. But they were self-righteous. self-righteous. The thing that we find in the world today. Self-righteous people. Sometimes within an ecclesia you might find a brother that will go way off to the right or to the left on some thing, doctrine that is way off on doctrine. This is easy to recognize because it is a doctrinal error that you can pick up real quick. So you're able to go to this brother and say, this is wrong because it's a doctrinal error. You may not change him, but you can recognize it. But think about this. Suppose that you have a brother that is doctrinally sound. He's sound doctrinally, but he's indifferent. He's indifferent. He knows what the right things are, but he doesn't do anything. He's indifferent. It's difficult to change him because he's not off doctrinally. He's just indifferent and doesn't really care. That's why the ecclesia begins to wane as the moon, you might say. He doesn't realize his mistake. After all, he's not off doctrinally. He just doesn't really care and work for the better of the ecclesia. This is the way it was in Laodicea. They did not know their true state. We as believers can be doctrinally sound and be like Laodicea and receive the condemnation from Jesus Christ. We can do that. Chapter 2 starts off verse 1 through 6, Ephesus. Unto the angel of the ecclesia of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy lampstand out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Doctrinally pure, but did not see. They did not see their need of Jesus Christ. This should have been their first love. Ephesus was a working ecclesia. It was also maintained a separate ecclesia. Also, they hated the Nicolaitans, which Christ also said he hates. A powerful ecclesia that liked one thing, and that is a return to their first love. A return to their first love. So here you have a challenge to change. The lesson here is that Jesus Christ did not need their labor as much as he needed their love. Think about this just a moment. Why does God invite us to call him our Father who art in heaven? Because he has installed in every loving parent a love for their children. Every loving parent knows what we want from our children. What we want is love. We want their love. God is the same way. This is what God wants. God wants our love. God wants us to show our love. The thing that will draw out our love for God is not success usually. It's not usually success that draws out our love of God. When we're successful, many times we have a tendency to become wrapped up in ourselves because we have a tendency to think what I did. But let trouble fall upon us, sickness. Then we're ready to turn to God. We're ready to ask for help. Many times it takes trouble and sickness to make us turn to God. God may not remove this trouble from us, but He shares this trouble with us. Now we come to the ecclesia at Smyrna. And I say, and unto the angel of the ecclesia in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and thy tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Here Christ is telling these at Smyrna that he knew that their tribulation. He knows the trouble that they have had, and that they might be cast into prison, and that they would be tried. That they would be tried. But be thou faithful, and he, Jesus Christ, would give them a crown of life. Christ was cast into prison. He was crucified. And he did receive a crown of life. The next ecclesia that we're going to deal with is Pergamos, verses 12 through 16. And to the angel of the ecclesia in Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword and with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those denied my faith in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, and was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 13 tells us that they are a determined ecclesia, holding fast his name, even in persecution. Verses 14 and 15 tell us they are an endangered ecclesia, that they allowed among them those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and those that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Christ tells them to repent, or he will come against them with the sword of my mouth. Repent. As far as Thyatira is concerned, I'll read verse 19 on that. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. So this tells us that it was a compromising ecclesia. I mean, it tells us it was a working ecclesia. I'm sorry. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servant, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So verse 20 tells us it was a compromising ecclesia. It was a compromising ecclesia. And as this result of these, it was a divided ecclesia. It seemed that if this ecclesia was devoting itself to works, devoting itself to works rather than what the Lord would have them to do, they were like the Judaizers. They would justify themselves by works instead of putting faith in Jesus Christ. The next one would be Sardis. Well, that's in chapter 3. Sardis, verses 1 through 5. And to the angel of the ecclesia in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou hast lived and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which I have not defiled, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Here was an ecclesia that was holy in reputation, but it was dead. They had a reputation, and their reputation was dead. They were trying to live on their reputation. This was an ecclesia that promised much, but gave little. So the Lord says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that they are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect. The word perfect here should be the word completed. They started things, but they did not complete them. They did not complete them. And he tells them to be watchful and to strengthen the things that remain. So again, this ecclesia had apparently had no error. Also, it had no warmth. It had no compassion. An ecclesia needs warmth and it needs love. Now we come to the ecclesia that is the opposite of the ecclesia at Sardis. This is the ecclesia Philadelphia, the ecclesia of brotherly love, verses 7 through 12. And to the angel of the ecclesia in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept word of my patience. I also will keep them from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Here's the ecclesia that's small in numbers, but it was motivated by brotherly love. Ecclesia that was just the opposite of the ecclesia of Sardis, that had a name of being alive but was dead. Philadelphia was an ecclesia that was small in numbers but was strong and active in the things of God. Verse 9 tells us that they were a fighting ecclesia. They were a fighting ecclesia. Not only were they a fighting ecclesia, but they were also an enduring ecclesia. Verse 10 told us that. Finally, we find the ecclesia Laodicea. Laodicea, verse 14. And unto the angel of the ecclesia of Laodicea, of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. The word Amen signifies something that is sure and it is immovable. The promises are made that are made are sure in Jesus Christ. We can be sure of that. And we know that we can put trust in everything that the Bible says, because Jesus Christ is the Amen of it all. Laodicea was an indifferent ecclesia. Laodicea was a banking center. It was noted for its great commercial activity. It also specialized in the black wool that was used to make priestly garments. And the Lord tells us, verse 15 through 18, I know thy works, and that thou art neither hot, cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Gold tried in fire. The trial of faith. That is gold tried in fire. Faith has to be tried. A person can have faith, and they can give in to trials. Most of us are sure within ourselves that we will never give up what we believe, that we will always believe. But are we all sure that at some time we wouldn't give in to trials? And a trial that would be put upon us would make us give in? That's what Christ is calling on at Laodicea to do. Not just faith, but tried in the fire faith. The Lord Jesus Christ warns those of Laodicea that because they know not their true state, that they were rich, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And he's not talking about the gold that comes from the banking center that they're used to. And he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. For they were blind, they did not see their true state. They did not see their true state. When things for us go wrong, personally, or within the ecclesia, that does not mean that God has abandoned us. He may be trying us to see if we're fit material for the kingdom. We're all going to have to go through trials. Tried in the fire of faith. To see if we are going to be worthy of a place in this kingdom. And it was set up. This wonderful day that we're looking forward to. That we feel is very near at the door. I feel that we're going to have a real fine Bible class this year, Bible school this year, with all of the things that we're going to have in the way of teachers, subjects. And I'm going to close and welcome everyone that hasn't been welcomed to our Bible school, and I thank you very much.